welcome to Unscripted Unlimited. I am your humble, gracious, and beautiful host, Daniel Hammer. I'm here with my brother, Doug.
What's up, everybody?
We're here to talk Beverly Hills Cop franchise retrospective. This is going to be a fun one. The old movie franchise that kind of got Eddie Murphy a start, almost, at least in action.
He was in a couple movies beforehand, but this is...
This blew him the fuck up,
though. Yeah. This was, I think, higher grossing because he had Trading Places and there was one before it, I think, too. But, 48 Hours and Trading Places was where he really got started. But this kind of put him over the top.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a fun ride. There's three movies in the franchise. There's rumored a fourth one is in production right now. There's a lot to get into about it. It's a franchise I kind of grew up on.
Yeah.
You've seen a couple of them, mainly because of me. So I passed on the tradition to you. Now, if we can get a girl to crank out a kid, we could pass it on to our kid.
Yeah, I mean, the first one's probably, it's in my top 10 movies of all time.
Yeah.
And, This franchise did a lot for Eddie Murphy. Action movies in general, I just love the premise of the Beverly Hills Cops movie. We'll get on into all that. First, some plugs. Make sure to check out the Dirt Sheet Dudes every Wednesday and Saturday. Wednesday for the wrestling show, Saturday for the Hollywood Hangout, right?
Yes.
Make sure to check us out at 6:30 p.m. for everything the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. We just did our big top 20 tag teams of all time. That should be up on all major platforms very soon. We're working with Spotify and having some troubles getting it up, but that will be up for everybody to listen soon. For all the people that joined us live on Blog Talk, we appreciate it, but it will be on other places soon along with this. So make sure to check us out everywhere you listen to podcasts for everything Unscripted. Our Unscripted Unlimited, our second show here at Saturday around 7 p.m. Obviously, we're doing Beverly Hills Cop tonight. We did a great Batman retrospective a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of good stuff coming in the future. We got Scaredy Cats tomorrow with me and Mindy, Texas Chainsaw, the new one. On Netflix, it's getting shit on, but Mindy liked it, so we're going to do that. And we're also going to be talking the psychology of Leatherface. So we got a lot of neat stuff coming up. Let's get into it.
Okay.
Elite Diplodoc, Sean on YouTube as well.
Right, definitely. Yeah, make sure you check out our buddy there.
Mm-hmm.
So the premise of Beverly Hills Cop, now each movie kind of had like a different storyline.
Yeah.
Okay. But, like, the thing was the same. Axel Foley, Detroit police officer, very street smart, wisecracking, also knows how to bend the law. Okay? But he's also very good at his job because he basically, he always catches the bad guy.
Yeah.
Now, the first two movies, Axel Foley was the character, comedic genius, very wisecracking and all that. Unfortunately, in the third one, he was more serious. He was not funny. And Eddie Murphy did that on purpose because that was a movie he did not want to make.
Yeah.
He had said, after they made the second one, he's like, there's no more for us to do. The only way I will be a part of a third Beverly Hills Cop movie is if Paramount throws me a huge check. They did. So he did it, but he really didn't want to do it. So that's why he's like, you know what? I'm going to be serious now because Axel is older.
Yeah.
So that was a movie that was a horror. And Axel even realized, and we'll get into that more later on, how horrible the movie was. That's why, when he was approached, because they've been trying to film another Beverly Hills Cop for the last 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
And they're finally in production now.
Yeah, I mean, they've talked about reboots, remakes, the whole nine.
But
I think they've decided on just doing a fourth one with Murphy, though.
Yeah, because I think at one point, like, they were going to have somebody play his son.
Yeah. I mean, there's been scripts and all kinds of shit thrown out.
Yeah. But so from what we heard, it's in production now. I don't know if it's actually going to. So hopefully, you know, it moves forward. But, you know, we'll get into that because he said, or well, he even said in an interview, he said, I'll do a Beverly Hills Cop 4 because we need to erase Beverly Hills Cop 3. That should not have existed. But, all right, so this first movie, so Axel is visited by a friend from Beverly Hills, Michael Tandino. And Tandino brought him German Barabans and, from an art gallery that he was a security guard at. But he's also a convicted felon. So he stole these German Barabans from his work. And the guys from the art gallery tracked him down. They knocked Axel out and they shot Tandino in the head. And killed him.
Yeah.
So, you know, Axel wants to work the case. Inspector Todd, his boss, said, no, you're not doing it. It's going to somebody else. Axel's like, all right, I'm going to take vacation. Todd tells him, okay, you take the vacation, you can take your vacation, but if you get involved in this case at all, you're fired. Well, Axel, you know, was really good at defying authority. So, you know, he did. You know, he took off, and then there's so many iconic scenes in that first movie.
Yeah.
When he gets thrown out of the window.
I mean, I just love the premise because it's such a good comedy, but also a good drama movie. It's just this urban cop that goes, because an urban, you know, police force in Detroit. And like you said, he bends the rules a little bit. He does, but he's really good at his job. And now he's going in this kind of posh neighborhood of Beverly Hills and dealing with all these, you know, kind of prissy people and these hard knock people, like some of the, what was the one cop? What were the two cops?
Taggart and Rosewood.
They were hilarious.
Oh my God, I still love
Rosewood. He was my favorite. He was just a fucking idiot, and Taggart's just this hard, gruff guy, but he even comes around by the end. And it's just, it's a hilarious movie, the banana in the tailpipe.
Yeah. And what's funny is that, like, there's so many iconic lines, really, from the first two movies, but, like, there's the one scene where he goes to visit Victor Maitland, who ends up being the bad guy in the first movie, and security takes him and throws him out the window.
Yeah.
And the police come and arrest him.
Yeah.
And they said, disturbing the peace. And they're like, why are you arresting me? I got thrown out of a fucking window. And they're just like, well, it's what's the charge? And the officer goes, disturbing the peace. Disturbing the peace? I got thrown out of a fucking window. What's the charge if I get thrown out of a moving car? Jaywalking? Like that. And the person that introduced me to these movies, you know, our father.
Yeah.
Like, that was one of his favorite lines also in the movie. Like, I remember watching it with him because we actually had the movie on VHS, you know, back when those were a thing.
Yeah.
And, like, that's one of the lines he would rehearse, you know, because he liked to rehearse lines from the movies and all that. And that's where I kind of got it from. But, I mean, he thought it was the funniest fucking thing in the world. So did I. And, like, but not just that, but also, like, you know, he gets arrested, and then he gets arrested, and then we meet Bogomil and Rosewood and Taggart. Taggart punches him in the stomach. Bogomil says, why are you here? Axel's not going to tell him the truth.
No.
And he goes, look, I'm on vacation. And he goes, look, I am talking to your Inspector Todd, and he told me to let him know if you're working the Tandino murder. If you're working the Tandino murder, I'm going to let your boss know, and you're going to be fired.
Yeah.
So Axel's like, okay. He really doesn't give a shit. So now Taggart and Rosewood are tasked with following him. Now, also, Axel checks himself into a, I think it was like the Beverly Palms Hotel or something like that. I forgot the name of the hotel. And he checked himself in saying he was Michael Jackson's agent or like somebody there to interview Michael Jackson. And he said, you know, get a room, you know, he gives him the name. He causes this fucking scene. He says he's there for Michael Jackson. So they're like, all right, well, we have a room. It's suite 1035. But we're going to charge you regular room rate. Okay, how much is regular room rate? They said, oh, $225 a night, which was high-end back in the day. You know, you pay $225 for a room now.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, which, you know, we got to look in the hotels for an upcoming trip we're going to make. So he checks into this nice hotel, and then Jenny Summers, who becomes the main female character in the movie, you know, she's Axel and Tandino's childhood friend. She actually got Tandino the job at the warehouse. She bails Axel out of jail. Taggart and Rosewood, like I said, are tasked with following him, so they're waiting outside the hotel. They follow them to the hotel. Axel sees it because Axel's a cop, so he knows that shit. And he's just like, you know, we're being followed. So he goes to he gets on the phone. He calls room service to get stuff off the late supper menu. And he sends down, and I've never had one of these, but like, you know, watching the movie a few weeks ago, I would actually like to see, like, if they actually serve this, a shrimp salad sandwich, which I've never heard of. I've never had one. Have you?
No, it sounds good, though, don't it?
Yeah. So he sends other stuff or whatever to, and they're driving a beige Ford. So he says he's sending out to that beige Ford park across the street. So you see this guy from room service taking everything across the street. And he goes, evening, sir. And Tanker goes, what the hell is this? Oh, late supper, sir. Courtesy of Axel Foley. He's like, Foley? Billy's like, how do you know we're here? He goes, and Tanker's like, because I let you drive. So Billy starts getting really into the food, right? Axel comes. So then, one of your favorite scenes, and one of Aunt Sharon's favorite scenes, goes up to the somebody in the lobby or whatever. He goes, "How much for a couple of bananas?" And a very young Damon Wayans answers. He goes, "Well, the fruit platter is $12.95." You get apples, and then I forgot what else he said.
Yeah, it's like
apples, bananas, oranges. And he goes, oh, I just need bananas. He goes, and he hands him a couple of bananas. He goes, go ahead, you take those bananas.
you go ahead, boy, you take those bananas.
So he takes them out there, and the room service guy sees him, obviously. Axel winks at him, so he winks back. So I don't know if the guy knew what, you know, that he's fucking. I don't know if the busboy or maitre d' or whatever the hell he is. I don't know if he knew that he was fucking around with cops. That he was basically helping Axel commit a crime.
Right.
But Axel, you know, puts a banana in the tailpipe, and then, you know, him and Jenny drive off to the Maitland's warehouse. And they go to follow him, but they can't figure out what the hell's going on. So anyway, so they're stuck there, right? Now, I'm pretty sure they did get the banana out of the tailpipe. So then Axel, goes, checks the stuff out. And then another one of the iconic moments in the movie is when he took them to a strip club. Now, Daniel, you have been with me to one of those establishments.
Jesus Christ.
Okay. Who looked more out of place at the strip club?
Taggart.
I was going to say me or Taggart.
But that's actually one of my favorite scenes in the movie. Especially when Murphy's acting like he's like the gay friend, and he's like acting as a guy. What did he say his name was? When he goes up to the dude, and he's like being really obnoxious to one of the like.
It's Todd or Ted or something like that.
Ted, or something like that. You don't remember me? And the loud music's playing, and Taggart's just sitting there, and Murphy's like dancing and like fucking hopping his shoulders and shit. And it's just a really iconic scene. And then like shit goes out, they start beating ass. Taggart even beats a little ass.
And Billy's putting dollar bills in the
yeah.
It was so funny. And then like, you know, Bogomil's questioning them, and Eddie Murphy gives this story about how Taggart and Rosewood saved the strip club, and Taggart can't lie because he's a dipshit. So he's just like, no, this is what happened. Axel's the one, he's the one that did it. And Bogomil's like, we appreciate your help, Detective Foley, but you're not in Detroit. Leave the police work to us. Okay. So then Bogomil assigns these two other guys to the Foley detail.
Right.
And so Foley is overlooking Maitland's house, right?
Yeah.
And the two cops come up to him and goes, you know, we're not going to fall for a banana in the tailpipe either. And Axel goes, you're not going to fall for a banana in the tailpipe?
Yeah.
He goes, come on, man. You got to be more manly. Like, hey, man, I ain't going to fall for no banana in my tailpipe. And I'm fucking dying. And it was like, and then, you know, they had the scene, you know, where like Axel caused the ruckus at the country club, and he gets arrested again. And Bogomil finally asks him, like, all right, Detective Foley, why do you keep bothering Victor Maitland? He goes, why don't you talk to us? So he lets him know what's going on, but Bogomil's got to follow the rules, right? So the chief of police comes in and says, and you know, tells Bogomil, look, get this fucker out of here. We'll drop the charges against him, but if he comes back, if he does not leave, we have to have him arrested.
Yeah.
So Billy goes to take him to the airport, or take him back to the hotel, watch him pack his bag. Then Axel's just like, Billy, you don't want to take me back to the airport. And Billy's like, Axel, I have to. Billy. So they go to the warehouse. A character I feel like I do have to mention is Serge from the art gallery.
Yeah.
Bronson Pinchot, I believe his name is. Also Balky from Perfect Strangers. Because he was very... not necessarily instrumental, but like, you know, he was a good, you know, kind of, you know, cameo character. He called Axel Foley Ackwell. But anyway, so he told Jenny, he's like, look, I got to get back in the warehouse. And Victor Maitland had already kind of confronted Jenny and asked, do you know who Axel Foley, do you know why Foley's here? And she goes, no, I have no idea. Because she had to lie.
Yeah.
Anyway, they go to the warehouse. Maitland catches them there. They kind of abduct Jenny. They think they're going to shoot Foley in the head. They have no idea Billy, which I don't understand. Because if you look at it, Billy, the way Billy is parked, all Maitland has to do is just look.
Yeah.
And he's there. So I don't know if they backed in through another entrance or what. I don't have no idea what the hell happened. And then Billy comes in. They shoot the, a couple of Maitland's goons. And Billy gets on the radio and goes, calls dispatch and says, please send a Taggart to check, tell Taggart to check out the warehouse. But do not tell him anything else. Just... or send somebody to check out the warehouse, but do not tell Taggart. Taggart gets on the air and says, Billy, what are you doing? But shit. He goes, "Sarge, just please check out the warehouse and please don't say anything to Bogomil." He goes, "Billy." And then the two other officers that Axel avoided earlier, they're like, "What's going on?" And Tagger goes, "Oh, Billy's doing something dumb again."
I love those two.
Oh, they're fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And then they get to the warehouse. Or not to the warehouse, but he gets the address to the warehouse, tells the two guys, and he goes, "All right, go there, find out what the hell's going on, and let me know. And let me know what the hell's going on, but don't talk to anybody else but me." And so a bunch of officers go. Tagger gets to Maitland's house, and he's like, "All right, Foley, you're under arrest." And Axel's just like, "I'm going inside. If you're going to stop me, shoot me." And Billy's like, "Yeah, I got to go in there with him." He's like, "Billy, you know, we're risking a lot here." He goes, "If you're lucky, you'll just get fired." And he's like, "Look, I have to." So they go in and, you know, big shootout and all that. And
yeah, it's a great part of the movie.
Yeah. And then you have the two guys that are like the security at Maitland's house. When all the police get there, the one guy asks him, he goes, "Are you going to hang around here?" The other guy goes, "Fuck no." And it's just funny. And then obviously, you know, the big shootout, Bogomil ends up joining them. They kill Maitland. The police chief comes in and goes, "What's this man doing here?" And Axel goes, "Bleeding, sir." And they ask, you know, Bogomil what happened. Bogomil gives his bullshit Foley story. And then he asked Taggart, he goes, "What really happened?" And Taggart finally lied and said, "It's just like the lieutenant said, sir." So, because I think he was, a lieutenant. He was still a lieutenant at that time. He got promoted to captain in the second movie.
Okay.
And so, anyway, so then Axel's just like, "Can you call Inspector Todd and get my ass out of the fire? Or, you know, get me off the hook?" And he's just like, "You know, Detective Foley, your favors are all used up." He goes, "All right, I guess I'll stay here then." He goes, "I'll call Inspector Todd in the morning." So then he left, and then... you know, he's checking out of the hotel, and Taggart and Rosewood actually carry the bill for him. So because he finds out that they're going to pay for that they're going to, you know, take care of the bill, he adds two $95 bass ropes to the tab. And Taggart's like, "You know what, why don't you keep that as a souvenir?" And Axel's like, "I already have three of them in my bag." So then, you know, that's how that movie ends. Classic movie.
Yeah.
Second movie is one of my all-time favorites.
Get into it.
So, basically, it starts with Axel trying to pull off a credit card bust. And, by the way, somebody that's in these first two movies that really doesn't get a lot of credit is Paul Reiser as Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Who was also an idiot. And comes up, they do the thing, and he gets a call from Bogomil, because, you know, they're all friends, and Bogomil's like, "I got to cancel on a fishing trip. There's something going on." Bogomil's trying to solve these things called the alphabet crimes, and Bogomil gets suspended by the new chief, Lutz. You know, Lutz the Putz. And on his way home, Bogomil gets shot by the Alphabet Bandits. And he ends up, you know, having to have surgery, and he's going to be, I think he was actually in a coma for a while.
Jesus.
And Axel was actually getting ready to make the bust on the credit card guy. When he found out that Bogomil had been shot. So he postpones making the credit card bust by refusing to make the deal with the guy that he was getting ready to bust. He's just like, all right, you know, I'll do business with you, because he accused the guy brought his nephew with him, and he accused him of being a cop. He's like, I do want to do business with you, but you brought a fucking cop with you. So he leaves. He goes to Jeffrey and says, look, I got to do something. He goes, I need you to drive the Ferrari around for a few days. There's stuff I got to go do, but I need you to pretend to be me. And Jeffrey's like, how the hell am I going to pretend to be you?
Mm.
You know, there's a distinct difference.
Yeah.
Not much of one, but there is, you know, you can tell the difference a little bit between Paul Reiser and Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
So he's just like, you know, just, you got to scooch down in the Ferrari so nobody knows that it's you driving it. Which, by the way, you cannot scooch down in a car. Especially when it's a $75,000 Ferrari. Or $67,000 or whatever the fuck. So he goes to Inspector Todd's office. He goes, Inspector T, how you doing? And Inspector Todd goes, where the fuck you been, boy? So he gives him a blue receipt asking for a blue requisition form for some flash money. He goes, I'm tired of seeing these blue slips. When am I going to start seeing some arrest slips? And he's like, I got to go deep, deep undercover for 3 days. So nobody's going to be able to contact me. Or I get it for a few days, and Todd's like, look, you got 3 days to pull this off. And Axel said something. He goes, well, you know, boss, I thought. And he goes, don't think, Axel, makes my dick itch. He's like, don't worry about Inspector T. I'm on the case. You don't have to worry about a thing. I'm on the case. And Inspector Todd goes, that's what I'm afraid of. Because he just gets very loud.
Yeah.
And like the dichotomy, like it's a shame that Inspector Todd really wasn't around more in the movies.
Yeah.
That he was just like the beginning scene character.
Yeah, he's fun at the beginning, so.
Yeah. And then, like, Axel shows up to the hospital. The police, you know, kind of look at him because he's under, you know, under heavy guard, right? Or Bogomil is. And then Rosewood's just like, he's okay. Because they stop him. And he looks at him and goes, what the hell are you doing here? And Axel's like, it came as soon as I heard. So that shows Axel's loyalty to those guys.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they set out and Axel convinces Taggart and Rosewood, and you get to see Bogomil's daughter too, by the way.
Right.
Very attractive. So like he's just like, look, Bogomil saved my ass 2 years ago, so I'm gonna do this for him. And you guys are his boys, you know, you should be showing loyalty to him. And Taggart's like, don't give me this crap about loyalty. Andy and I joined the force together, and because Taggart just wants to follow the rules.
Yeah.
Axel's not about that.
Right.
Billy just secretly wants to shoot people. And so they start going undercover and they visit the Beverly Hills Gun Club and Axel steals a fucking house. There's a house under construction, right?
Yeah.
He convinces he said that he's an inspector or something and that he's got to commandeer the house for a few days. So he sends the working crew away, and so that's where he's staying. That's where he's staying. So Taggart and Rose would go to the house, and Taggart's just like, what the fuck did he do? Taggart's like, you know you stole this house, right? Because Axel's in the back in the pool. He goes, all right, get your trunks on, get in this pool. Party time. And Taggart's like, get the fuck, you are a goddamn police officer, for Christ's sake. You're going to get us all in deep shit. Get the fuck out of the way. And then Taggart slips on the deck and falls in. So then Taggart comes out in these goofy ass, you know, fucking polyester clothes. And where do they go? This place called Club 85, Club, I think it's like 385 North or something like that. Strip club.
Yeah.
All right.
Now this time, Billy looked a little more, you know,
comfortable
in the club. Taggart still looked like I did. Except for I wouldn't be caught dead in those tacky clothes. So they go there, and the guy asks, actually, like, do you have a reservation? And he goes, don't you know that's he looks at Taggart and goes, don't you know that's President Gerald Ford? And he's like, that doesn't look like Gerald Ford. He goes, well, he dressed himself up real nice. He wanted to come 385. So they got into the club by making Ford think that he was, or by making people think that Taggart was President Gerald Ford, who I'm pretty sure was dead by the time the movie was made. So then he goes up to the bar and says, can I get a Coke with no ice? Pour some Coke, no ice. Finds out who, asks who the one guy is. He goes, oh, that's Nick Thermopolis. He owns the place. Nick Thermopolis, who, by the way, did not have a speaking role in the movie.
Yeah.
But was also, well, I mean, he had a background speaking role. Like, you could kind of hear him. But he was also, he's better known, the actor that plays him, Paul Guilfoyle, is better known as Jim Brass from CSI. So, so the guy goes, hey, buddy, that, you know, $7 for that Coke. And he goes, $7 for a Coke? No, he goes, I can get blown for $7. Which, again, that's a very huge difference in prices for, you know, today it costs you probably, I mean, I don't know personally offhand, but maybe about, you know, a couple grand, I'm guessing. There ends up being a shootout at the club because the Alphabet Bandits, Max Dent actually, put a hit out on Foley and said, look, you got to get, talks to one of his employees, Charles Kane, and says, you have to get rid of this motherfucker because I think he's a cop. Because Axel is starting to figure out what's going on. So anyway, big shootout at the club. And by the way, Taggart and Rosewood are supposed to be on traffic duty. And so they go to... the big shootout. Axel, you know, doesn't die. Thank God. And... Chief Lutz comes in and says, what the hell have you done? What the hell is going on here? All right, what are you two doing here, talking to Taggart and Rosewood? Are you just checking parking meters in the area? And Foley had Lutz convinced that he was a guy by the name of Johnny Wishbone. He goes, I called immigration. They've never heard of a Johnny Wishbone. So Axel just shows him his badge and says, I'm a cop. He goes, this is the Detroit badge. What the hell are you doing in Beverly Hills? He goes, oh, I'm part of a special task force. Just call my Inspector Todd first thing in the morning between 9 and 10 Detroit time, and he'll explain to you everything. So now you know that there is going to be something funny going on when he says call Inspector Todd, because Todd has no fucking clue what's going on. I'll get to that in a minute. So he goes, all right, he looks at Taggart and Rosewood and goes, you guys just checking parking meters in the area? And Rosewood goes, we're off duty, sir. I live right nearby. He goes, well, I better not catch you dude doing anything but traffic duty or else it'll be both your asses. And Taggart goes, technically, sir, because it was a car crash, this is traffic duty. And Lutz looks at him and says, technically, you're a goddamn idiot. Get out of here, Taggart. And Rosewood just looks and goes, Jesus Christ. So they get to Rosewood's house. Axel uses the phone and calls Jeffrey and says, I need you to do something for me that you're not going to want to do.
Poor Jeffrey.
Jeffrey goes, am I going to get in trouble? So they do this thing. They match a fingerprint on a set of matches. And then Jeffrey early in the morning, calls Inspector Todd and says, we want you to meet, pretends to be this guy from this FBI bulletin or whatever,
right.
Says, you know, we want to do an interview with an exceptional law enforcement officer, and your name showed up on our computer. So asked him to meet for breakfast or whatever at their office to get him out of there so he had enough time to make the fucking phone call to Lutz. So he goes in there, and the phone finally rings. But by the time the phone rings, Todd shows up pissed because he knew he got set up. He goes, all right, who fixed my ass? So Lutz calls, and Jeffrey pretends to be Inspector Todd, but, you know, in order to pretend to be Inspector Todd, you have to fucking badmouth Foley. Because he's like, I don't know what the hell he's doing. He's a pain in my ass. So then he finally hangs up the phone and goes, I got to go now. Goodbye. And Todd goes, what the hell are you doing in here? Or either hell or fuck. Well, what the hell are you doing in here? And Jeffrey goes, this is not my office.
Yeah.
You're damn right it isn't.
Was that the second one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
In the first one, he goes, this is not my locker.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Paul Reiser, you know, the man who played Jeffrey, he's very underrated funny.
Yeah.
Like, in the show that he was in, Mad About You, I really don't think he was that funny. He was more kind of like a serious character or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, he had some good, you know, good moments. But it was a sitcom, but it was a sitcom that was made funny by the background characters.
Right.
But it was still like a very underrated show. It's also a show that nobody ever talks about anymore.
Right.
It's not on a streaming service. But anyway, so then there was a deal where they figured out where the next break-in was going to be. And which was going to be at a, not at a horse track, at a city deposit, at a money, where federal banks take their money to be deposited. So, they knew that was going to be the next break-in. And they go to try to stop the break-in. And they say to the guy, well, actually, first, their car has a flat tire. Well, and also at some point, I don't know if it was here, if it was in a scene later, but Billy drives it. Billy drives the car, you know, he's worse than both Mindy and myself combined driving a car. And Tagger goes, Sarge, just trust me. And he goes, trust you, you drive worse than Maureen. You know, his soon-to-be ex-wife.
Yeah.
Or his wife or whatever. And he goes, no way. So, have a flat tire. Axel and Billy get the city deposit. Taggart's old, so he can't run that fast. Or they're like, Taggart, are you coming? He goes, I'm coming. I'm coming. Don't wait for me, God damn it. Get the city deposit. They sound the alarm. Because the guy goes, I need authorization. So they actually shoot the gate that authorized. So then the truck comes, almost hits Axel. He goes, Rosewood, go get some wheels. Then comes the greatest scene in the history of all movies. Billy comes driving a cement truck. And Axel goes, this is pretty sporty. And Billy goes, don't complain. It's all I could find. And the background song that they played was just awesome. I forget what it was, though. I actually think it was done by the Pointer Sisters. So they go, you know, they're driving around, or they're trying to chase the money truck. And Billy's, you know, crashing into just about everything, all these police cars and shit. So the truck gets abandoned, so they follow the tracks, and it leads to a place I know you and I would have liked to have visited one day, the Playboy Mansion. And so they head to the Playboy Mansion. Sarge, you know, tracks them down, And he's like, wait a minute. Star, he goes, Billy, isn't this the... He goes, yeah. He goes, no. Sarge is like, I don't want to go in there. And then they pull up to the Playboy Mansion in the truck, in the cement truck. And a young Chris Rock goes, yo, 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 what the fuck is up, man? Check this out. I got $10 for cards, $20 for limos. What the hell is this? Axel goes, it's my truck. Here's $50. Park it next to a limo. So they go in, and the girl at the desk goes, can I help you? And she goes, Axel goes, I'm here to clean the pool. He goes, and your name, sir? Well, I'm the pool cleaner. Okay, who are these two guys with you? Oh, they're from the Department of Health. He goes, darling, the pool was clean yesterday. He goes, I know the pool was clean yesterday, but somebody took a shit in the pool. I got to go clean it up. These two men from the Department of Health are here to make sure I do my job. Now, if you want, I can bring it back and you can verify it. And she's like, no, go do what you got to do. So then they go out there and, they see the party with all the playmates and shit. And Axel goes, Jesus Christ. Looks down in his crotch and goes, wake up. Isn't that what we've always talked about? Look alive and you'll never see it again. Billy goes, why can't my parties be like this? And Taggart's like, if you got to die sometime, you might as well be here. So then Billy's like, what are we supposed to be doing? He goes, well, we got to find the person that drove that truck. Well, how are we supposed to do that? Axel goes, follow your dicks. So they go, they find Dent. Well, because they find his Dent's lover who was working, who works at the gun club, Brigitte Nielsen. And he goes, that's the girl that works at the gun club. He goes, oh, that girl with Dent and Thermopolis? And Axel goes, yeah, that big bitch. So they go over, they cause a scene, Hef throws every fucking one of them out of the mansion. So now they're talking to Lutz and the mayor and Lutz's assistant. And he goes, what the hell were you doing there, Foley? And Foley goes, hey, there are police officers too. And Lutz goes, remains to be seen. Foley's like, did you call my Inspector Todd for me? He goes, yeah, and your Inspector Todd doesn't like you very much. So they go up. They're trying to figure out the cement truck, and Lutz's assistant thought the cement truck was a decoy to get, to help the criminals get away. And Lutz goes, have you submitted yourself for drug testing yet? I want you in by Thursday. You understand? Don't you realize that whoever drove that cement truck foiled the whole goddamn crime? And then Taggart called the guy a putz. Lutz goes, what did you say? And Lutz's stooge said, he called you putz, sir. He goes, I didn't call him a putz. I called you a putz. And Lutz goes, he's right, putz. So then Gilbert Gottfried has a role in this movie, a Sidney Bernstein, Dent's accountant. And so they go visit him, and Axel bribes him, gets $200 off of him. And then they break it. Charles Kane, who was doing the majority of the setting up for all the alphabet jobs, he gets shot at Imperium Fields, which is a horse track. But Dent and his girlfriend try to pin it all on Kane. But Axel's not buying it. Now, it's on this day where Axel's supposed to go back to Detroit. His 3 days are up.
Right.
He ain't going back yet. He's making sure everything fucking gets solved. And Bogomil's daughter is also doing background checks on Dent's, because she works in an insurance company. So she's doing background checks on Dent's insurance and all that shit. So they get to, I think it's a horse, like the back of the horse tracks or whatever. And then there's this big shootout, and Billy and Taggart and all that, and they shoot, and they kill Dent. Axel got hit by a car, but he survived. And the big bitch is Axel Calder, was going to shoot him, but then Taggart shot her.
Yeah.
So then they get up, and then Lutz comes in and goes, "What are you guys doing? Thinking doing a firefight in the middle of my city?" And Rosewood says, "We saw the alphabet crimes." He goes, "Shut your goddamn mouth! I saw the alphabet crimes in a body bag about an hour ago." And then he's telling Rosewood, trying to say, "Chief, were you just..." He goes, "Shut up! Shut your goddamn mouth! Didn't I tell you to shut up?" And Billy goes, "No, goddamn it, you shut up!" And then Billy starts going to the explanation, and my favorite line in that whole thing is, "If you bothered to get your head out of your ass, you would have seen we solved the whole goddamn thing." And he goes, "You watch yourself." And then the mayor goes, "Lutz, why didn't I know about this?" And Taggart goes, "Because Chief Lutz doesn't have the guts to hear the truth from real cops." So Lutz fires Taggart and Rosewood and fires Foley for some unknown fucking reason, even though Axel doesn't work for him. So then the mayor fires him and says, I've had enough of your abusive attitude. You're fired."
To who?
Lutz, the chief. And then Bogomil actually gets promoted as chief of police. So now he shakes Bogomil's hand and says, "Are you the new chief of police?" He goes, "Yeah." So the mayor of Beverly Hills calls Inspector Todd and says, "Thank you for allotting Detective Foley the time to help us solve this case." Well, according to him, he's learned everything he knows under your expert tutelage. So he hands Foley the phone because Todd wants to talk to him. He goes, and Axel goes, "Hi!" And Inspector Todd goes, "Expert tutelage? What the fuck have you been telling them?" And he goes, "Now that you're done being a California hero, why don't you get your ass on back here to your real job?" And Axel's like, "Yeah, I'm already out the door. My ass actually has already left." And he goes, "Oh yeah, and by the way, your secret undercover partner, Mario Andretti Friedman," talking about Jeffrey, "wrecked the goddamn Ferrari." He goes, "Here, you talk to Jeffrey." And then Jeffrey tried to explain what was going on. Axel just hung up on him. Jeffrey's like, "He hung up on me." Bless you. So then, bless you again. Yeah. So anyway, hangs up the phone. Axel gets ready to leave. And the couple that actually owns the house that Axel was staying at show up. They're like, "Who are the two of you? Who is that guy?" And Axel and Rosewood and Taggart are just like, they're looking. They're like, "Axel did it again." And so basically, you know, that's the second movie.
All right, real quick, get to the third one.
So the third one actually had to go through a lot of changes.
Yeah.
The original plot was supposed to be Taggart, Rosewood, and Taggart, Rosewood, and Foley going to London to rescue Captain Bogomil, who was taken hostage during an international police convention. But pre-production and problems with the budget problems in production caused a pause that caused Ronnie Cox, who plays Bogomil, and John Ashton, who plays Taggart, to drop out of the film. Because they had to drop out because the because they had other film projects, and so they both had to drop out. So basically, that's how they had to get Hector Elizondo in as Detective John Flint, as Billy's I don't know if he was necessarily Billy's partner or not. So anyway, so basically the premise of the movie is there's these car hijackers that hijacked a van full of U.S. military equipment.
Yeah.
This guy named Ellis DeWald and his crew go in. They get the van or the truck or whatever, or the truck. They get the truck with the military equipment in it. And the hijackers wanted to get paid, so DeWald had his guys kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And Axel and his team were getting ready to, you know, bust the hijackers. Inspector Todd shows up and says, "Foley, where's SWAT?" And Foley goes, "Boss, I canceled the SWAT." And he goes, "You did what? I wouldn't invade a church bingo game without SWAT." Probably the funniest line of the movie, because afterwards, like, this movie just fucking sucked. Anyway, Inspector Todd's actually the one that gets killed. He gets gunned down. Axel tries to chase him down. He gets stopped by FBI or whoever. Or not FBI. FBI. And they say, "Look, you know, you cannot arrest him. You cannot kill him. We need him around because there's stuff more important than your boss's murder." So, you know, Axel's not going to go away. By the way, Jeffrey wasn't even in this movie. Paul Reiser was not in the movie. And he was actually talked about, like, an idea that was turned down for the movie was it was Jeffrey actually get murdered by two London crime boss brothers, and then Axel go to, but that idea got scrapped, and then we're going to do the other idea with Bogomil and all that, but then, you know, Bogomil and Ashton had to drop out, so they came up with the stupid Wonderworld idea. Goes to California, kind of tags up with Rosewood again. John Flint, played by Hector Elizondo, you know, better known as Ed Elzate from Last Man Standing, comes in, says, "Look, you know, I'll introduce you to my pal, Ellis DeWald. He runs the largest private security company in the world. He'll help you." Not knowing that DeWalt is the one that put the bullet in Inspector Todd's head. So anyway, Axel is trying to prove that Ellis DeWalt is a piece of shit. Nobody really wants to believe him, except for Billy kind of believes him. But Billy's also the one taking the rap for all the shit Axel's doing.
Yeah.
So Uncle Dave, who actually owns Wonderworld, goes to Foley for help, says, "Look, you know, I want to know what happened to my business partner, Roger Fry." Axel says, "Look, I'll try to help you." Uncle Dave ends up getting shot later on in the movie. Axel gets pinned for it. They go to Wonderworld, big shootout. All the bad guys, well, and Axel, Flint, and Billy all get shot, but they all survive. They kill all the bad guys. The agent, the FBI agent that has been on Axel, that basically wouldn't let Axel kill DeWalt in the beginning of the movie, turns out he was in on the whole thing. So Axel killed him at the end, too. Basically, this movie just kind of sucked. I mean, it was the return, though, of Serge, Bronson Pinchot. He came back, and he actually lent Axel a gun because he specialized in guns now. And it's just... it wasn't a really good... Eddie Murphy hated the movie. And because, like, in an interview that he did with David Letterman, Letterman read off the his filmography, and he goes... you know, he read off Beverly Hills Cop 3, and the audience applauded, and he goes, "Don't applaud that. It was a horrible Beverly Hills Cop movie." But I think a lot of it also had to do with the fact that Eddie Murphy just would not cooperate. Because he actually got into several arguments with the director of the movie, John Landis. And he just, like, because Landis is just like, Eddie, come on. Like, be funny. Axel Foley's supposed to be funny. Axel wouldn't do it. Like, Eddie wouldn't do it. He would not cooperate. So, like, I think, and I don't want to get a lot of Eddie Murphy fans upset here, and I don't want to upset Eddie Murphy's 10 children.
Yeah.
10 kids, this guy. He's got enough cum in him to shampoo two buffaloes. But it just, Eddie Murphy, if he would have tried to be funny in this,
yeah,
it would have been a better movie.
Yeah.
But I think because, like, he did a more serious role and all that. So I think he is partly to blame for this movie being dog shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Because he didn't put forth the effort in the first, put forth the effort in this one like he did the first two.
Yeah.
The first two are iconic. This is shit, and he's part of the reason why. And I also think it's also due to the fact that you had to put another character in, you know, Hector Elizondo's character, instead of Taggart and Bogomil. There was a lot of key pieces missing.
Yeah.
Now, in Beverly Hills Cop 4, John Astin has said, I want to be in this.
Yeah.
He's hoping that they'll write him in. Now, in the movie, they explained that Taggart, in Beverly Hills Cop 3, they explained that Taggart was retired and moved to Arizona. They didn't say a goddamn thing about Bogomil.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if Ronnie Cox, who plays Bogomil, is going to be in the movie, it's going to be in the fourth one. He's 85.
Yeah, probably not.
So I guess, you know, we'll see or whatever. But yeah, no, the third one could have done without being made.
Yeah. The first two are classics, though.
Yeah, the first two are definitely classics. But again, like, it's like a lot of movie franchises. You know, you talk, you know, you do a little ditty on here with our sister.
Yeah.
Called Scaredy Cats, and you guys have talked about Scream before.
Yeah, the first two are good. The third one sucks.
Yeah. But and then they do a fourth and a fifth.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's just like when you do a movie, a lot of movies don't need sequels, but if you give them a sequel, like sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But if it works the second time, leave it. Don't do another one.
Yeah.
Especially if the second one may not be as good. I mean, I love the second Beverly Hills Cop movie over the first one.
It's hard to catch lightning in the bottle three times.
Yeah. And unfortunately this series didn't do it. Hopefully the fourth one kind of, you know, takes taste out of people's mouths.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm interested to see it, like when it, if it does come out.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, from what we've heard, it's in production. Like they're working on it. So I don't even know if it's in production, but they're working on it. Stuff is, you know, they say it's being made. So I don't know. I'm kind of hopeful.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. I mean, closing thoughts about this. It's a great movie franchise. First two are classics. Third one was a lot left to be desired. But I also think a lot of that, again, like I said, it's lack of effort.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty much all I got. I mean, I basically read through the whole fucking...
No, it was great. I enjoyed all these movies. The third one isn't my favorite, but the first one's iconic and the second one's pretty good. I think this, if any person that wants to become an Eddie Murphy fan, I would direct them to this franchise. This is hilarious. A lot of good lines in there, and I give the whole franchise a 9 out of 10.
I would give it it would have been a 10 out of 10 had they not done the third one.
Yeah.
But you talk about Eddie Murphy, and I'll just say this real quick about Eddie Murphy. He's got a lot of good movies. The 80s were a very popular time for him.
Yeah.
You had Trading Places, 48 Hours. You had this. Coming to America, The Golden Child. Well, The Golden Child, really not so much. And then, you know, he struggled for a little bit with trying to make money.
I mean, it made a his movies made a lot of money, yeah. Dr. Doolittle and all that shit.
Well, later on,
yeah,
with the
Haunted Mansion. I mean, there were critical successes, but he was still doing well. But he even said he stopped making movies because he's like, people fucking shit on my movies. They don't like them.
Yeah. Well, and the funny thing is that in the 90s, when he kind of had that comeback, you know, with Dr. Doolittle and the Shrek movies, and the one he did with Martin Lawrence called Life.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another movie he did called Metro. Critics may have hated those, but they did very well at the box office.
Yeah.
And personally, I'm an Eddie Murphy fan.
Me too.
So I enjoyed those movies. The only movie I really did not like, to be honest with you, is I didn't like the Golden Child. Okay.
And The Adventures of Pluto Nash is pretty bad.
Well, yeah, I really didn't see those. I saw the last Eddie Murphy movie I actually watched was The Thousand Words.
Okay.
Yeah,
Coming to America 2 just came out. I haven't seen it yet.
Neither have I. But no, Eddie Murphy is a great actor. It's just unfortunate. But again, too, I also think it has to do with he has to put forth 1,000% effort.
Yeah.
In order for things to be successful.
No, for sure. But with that being said, we'll see everybody next week. This was a lot of fun.
Definitely was. my voice is just about shot.
It was a good franchise, and we'll see everybody next time for Son of Batman and Justice League Throne of Atlantis.
Cool.
In the struggle, you know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby, baby.
Shake it, shake it.
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock to my...